Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour, Darren Dunnick and Chase. We are live at Nissan Stadium. Big, big day. Big announcement you just heard from the commissioner, Gary Bettman, to end hour number one. The heavy hitters continue. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, and President and CEO. You can follow him on Twitter. You should. It's free and easy to do. He's a great follow. Sean Henry now joins us in our radio booth. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing just spectacular. What a great morning, huh?
Awesome morning. I mean, beautiful day here in downtown, and a beautiful announcement. As the questions have finally been answered. We finally have the answer, right, of when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? Well, it's going to happen, February 26th.
You know, I'm so glad because now I don't have to answer everyone, you know, that is so slighted that we don't host every single national event. But, you know, our fans drove this. It really is that simple. I said that on stage. You know, the story of our franchise is all about the passion of our fans and how much they love this team and the relationship that we have together. And it was easy to bring the draft here. It was easy to bring the All-Star game here. It was easy to kick open our front doors during the Stanley Cup and just transform Nashville to a 100,000-seat arena, if you will. And then we're going to do it once again, you know, with this great showcase.
What's interesting, and you have these conversations all the time, but, you know, like somebody like the MC today was Jackie Redmond from NHL Network, and we had her on the show last week, and she came and did pregame last night at Patron Platinum Club, and just the perspective, and that was her first Predators game, which, one, I was surprised. I feel like now it's like everybody's been to Nashville and everybody's been to a Preds game. So it was kind of a surprise to hear that. But just what people think they're going into, that's the amazing thing, right? Like, there was a time, Sean, as you know, where it was like, you know, especially up north, it was like, oh, nobody even cares. Nobody even now it's like, not only do they know that everybody and what it's like, they've got their own vision of what they're walking into.
Yeah, it's funny because it used to be you walked in just thinking, oh, it's going to be a sleepy building. No one knows hockey, blah, 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 blah. And you left like, oh, my gosh, that was the greatest experience of my life. Now you come in. This is what always concerns me. You come in
the bar
expecting
high.
And
you
the greatest
built,
experience.
Right, you've built it way up.
Yeah, but you still leave with that wow. And it's nothing we do. It really is because our fans are just spectacular. They just make it so much fun. And, you know, the best things that we do in-game, we're fan-driven. And, you know, every year it seems there's one more thing that comes about. The latest one was the Paul McCartney Let It Be song on the goal review. And that was just generic. And then the flashlights go out, like the old concerts. And every year there's something new that the rest of the world looks at and says, oh, my gosh, only in Smashville.
So. Yeah. Isn't that cool when something organically happens?
Yeah, because, you know, we all try to force it, right? It never works as well as when it's true granola. So it's neat.
Now, I have been told from other people that there are some
sources say.
We have a scoop. But other buildings, the organic part is interesting because I think we've seen all around the league that with the Jumbotron, there's some things that a lot of rinks are doing that they weren't doing 15, 20 years ago. It's like there were some traditions, hey, we don't want that. Now, pretty much everybody is doing that. But the organic chants and things like that, you can try to do it. You can try to even get people to start it, but it's really hard to do that, right? I mean, that's why what makes our
group special.
You can
do it. Like, yeah. I mean, you can do it, and you force it, and you force it, and you force it, and it's never going to take off. It just won't. It has to be something that comes out, you know, of the group. And, you know, the few things that we've tried that have failed miserably are normally things that we think, oh, this is a great idea. Let's just go do it. And we don't bring it to our fans. We don't let them round it out. And normally they fail, and they deserve to fail. But it is fun to see how our game is celebrated differently in every venue in America now. It used to be – I love the term non-traditional, by the way. Everyone apologizes when they say it. I like being a non-traditional team because where is it more fun? Here? Vegas? Tampa? Or the boring Rust Belt cities. I won't say them. My friends all think they invented hockey because they're from New York, right? And I would tell them, you're coming to a game, that's great. You're going to have a better time on this Tuesday night against the Islanders or Rangers or Devils or Bills than you've ever had at another sporting event, period. And they quickly, you know, are you kidding me? I went to the 96 World Series. I went to blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, at the end of the game, if I'm right, you be the judge, you pick up the bill. If you're right, I pick up the bill. I have yet to pick up a bill. My favorite line was from a friend of mine who was a Ranger fan, and we grew up watching games together. He said, this might be the greatest place on the planet to watch your team lose because we had to beat them that night. And you love hearing those things. But even better than that, it's fun when you go into some of the buildings that really were holding on to some tradition in an odd, strange manner. And now they're doing the things they used to mock and make fun of. And it's because of all the success of some of those newer market teams.
Speaking of Rangers, in the house tomorrow night.
You know what? Rangers. No coincidence I may have mentioned the Rangers three times, but yeah, tickets still available, and it is always fun. I actually, as much as you know, talk about non-traditional new teams, I love hosting the original six teams. I really do. You know, sports are about history. It's about generation to generation. And, you know, for myself, I'm not the team I grew up following. Pretty dumb kid growing up on Long Island following the Rangers, not the Islanders. But it's always special to have an original six team come in, because you will always end up with 50 to 100 people that have never been in Nashville before. And they do walk out just saying, oh, my gosh, this is the right way to play hockey.
The four of us will take that experience from the Cotton Bowl and keep that the rest of our life. We'll never forget that day. It was an incredible day.
We'll try to forget the third period, but that's...
Well, I'm talking about the experience. The experience, yes. Yeah. Not the result.
Yeah, Debbie Downer, old Willie here. Sorry, yeah. You're talking about the pageantry of the party, and you're talking about spilling wine on your dress. My gosh.
So, for people who haven't been able to experience that, February 26th, they're going to get that opportunity starting tomorrow when tickets go on sale for the public.
Yeah, so, of course, our season ticket holders had the first right at tickets and, you know, blew it out of the water, but there are still going to be, you know, 20, 25,000 tickets or so available to the general market. I bet half of those are taken up by people from around the country that don't want to miss it. But I don't care if you have never been to a hockey game, never been to a football game, never been to a live event. This is an event you don't want to miss because, as you said, Dallas, it was just spectacular. I mean, we played in all the history of the bowl there.
Cotton Bowl.
Cotton Bowl, thank you. Drawing a blank because I was mesmerized with the corn dogs on the fairgrounds. And
and the pigs.
And the pigs. But it was so cool to watch that. Yeah, but watch that venue transform. We're used to seeing UT play there, you know, and Coach Fulmer, you know, succeed there. But to see our ice in the middle of that stadium, it was amazing. We're all used to Nissan Stadium a little bit differently because we come here all the time, but it's going to transform. And as Burke Nihil said, it's going to be really fun to see this thing painted gold. And he said, as long as you promise to paint it back, you know, blue and red. but it is. I mean, so, again, if you hate sports, make sure you're at this game. It's one of those things that your grandkids will talk about you being at this game because some memory is going to be made. I don't know what it is yet, but it's going to be spectacular.
And we have the template as a city, as we know, but I thought it was really important that Gary Bettman said, this isn't going to be just the one day, the one game. There's going to be a lot. He said a week long, which is really interesting. The Stadium Series has been around for a while. I don't think it's ever been a week long thing before. This is going to be a new thing, but we know that our city can handle it.
Well, if you remember, the All-Star Game used to be a really fun two-day affair, right? Mm-hmm. You'd come in on Saturday, you'd go to the NHL Experience at a convention center, and then you would go in for the skills competition. You'd go enjoy dinner that night, and you'd come back for the All-Star Game and normally leave in the third period. And, you know, the league challenged us, said, you know, let's change what we do. We changed the format of the game, went to 3-on-3, and we started that party on Wednesday, if you remember, and we opened up our doors. You know, we weren't playing in front of 17,000 people. We played in front of 60,000 people. And I don't even know how many concerts we had. I think we had 30 free concerts outside. The NHL Experience was both inside and outside. The weather cooperated. Like we were living right that week because God smiled on Smashville. And, you know, ever since then, that's become a lot more than a two-day, you know, celebration. L.A. followed us. Tampa followed us. But what I said it on stage, and Steve Griggs afterwards, you know, was unkind to me what he said. But he's right. When I was in Tampa, everyone came up to me and said, my gosh, this is an incredible weekend. This is one of the best weekends I've ever had, but it's no Nashville.
Oh,
and you love throwing the party of parties, but I also like that we changed how it's celebrated and everyone's leaped forward from there. We did the same thing with the Stanley Cup, as we talked about, and we're going to do the same thing with this. This has always been a great event. The setting's beautiful. Every city it's been to opens up their arms and they welcome it. We're going to do all that, but we're going to start our party a little bit earlier, and it's going to last a little bit longer. And the hurt from that party is going to last a little bit longer, too. You know, you heard Ron Haney say it. You know, we all can't wait to be in Nashville. And everyone knows it. This is the best city in the league, without exception, because of our fans. They make it so. It's a welcoming place. You know, we had a fight in our crowd the other night, and you know, we're getting blown up on social media. And why? Because that doesn't happen here. It just doesn't. That's
shocked.
What made it so odd.
I know.
The last time we had something like that, David Legman was in the face-off circle, if you remember. We were playing San Jose. And he wouldn't take the face-off because he was looking up at the crowd like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? Because you don't see it here. And I like that that's the exception. And the norm is, what a fun place to be.
You know how I know you're dead on with what you just said? I knew exactly who the opponent was. I remember the game. I mean, if you can remember that, then you know.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. It's isolated, and that's a big deal. I mean, I knew you were talking about the Sharks game.
Yeah, I mean, like, my parents can name the two things my sister did wrong in her life. They can't do that with me because I was every day. Like, they couldn't keep up. But really, it's when our fans make it such a wonderful place to be for our team, make it a little intimidating for the visiting team, but always fairly welcoming, you know, to the 100, 200 people from out of town.
I have to ask you about
my sister?
No. But the commissioner was talking about how young people especially absorb the content from the games around the league. The moment last night, to me, I mean, it was a great win. Tanner Jeannot scored the game-winning goal. But that's not the play that's going to be remembered and absorbed by the most people, I don't think. It's when he absolutely leveled Drew Doughty. And the lead-up was even better. He hit Doughty. Doughty was like, okay, that was you. I'm coming back at you. And he got completely flattened on the ice. Just those little five-second clips, that it reminds you of Derrick Henry. I mean, this guy really is a guy that you want to watch every night.
And, you know, we knew what he was becoming last year, obviously, you know, how we handled the expansion draft. And it's fun now to see him break out of the division we were in last year, where it was just the same teams over and over and over again. And now the rest of the league is going to learn who he is. And he really is something. And that was a fun interchange between the two of them afterwards. Because, you know, growing up, I'm sure – you know, we looked at Doughty as, you know, one of his idols.
Yeah,
and heroes,
Canadian
and,
Olympian.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's always fun when you see that young guy that not a lot of people know about yet, you know, meet one of the legends of the game. And there are great, great pictures of, you know, Gordie Howe doing it to fill in the blank. And that, you know, torch gets passed. And it was in my side of the ice. I sit on 105, and it was right in front of me. And I hit my wife. I tapped my wife. And I said, you look at that. Look what they're doing right now. And it was that fast interchange that happened three or four more times. And then he scored. And it was funny, you know, how they interacted. And that's what I love about our game. That's what I was talking about, the original six. It's that generational passing of the torch and the stories. But I think you're right. As fun as our goals were and some of Saros' saves were, it was that interchange and that hit, clean hit, that something that people are remembering about and probably has more social imagery than anything else on our ice the last night.
I just was impressed the interchange that Willie went from you and your sister and your parents to Tanner Jeannot. That was
perfect segue.
I mean, that was perfect.
It's good. It's very good.
We don't do awkward segues on our show, right? We're the four amigos.
Sean Henry, the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, is here with us. So this, I could look at this from being the Nashville native, but I think this is really, really cool. That on February 26th, you will be able to say that all three major pro teams have played in this building with the Titans, Nashville SC, and now the Nashville Predators. I don't know how many cities can say that, playing in one building.
It's funny, in my head, I'm trying to figure out who else could claim that. You know, maybe Shea Stadium with the Jets, Yankees, Mets. I'm struggling. You stumped me.
That's
for
a
sport historian.
Yeah.
Maybe the Metrodome, I'm sure. I think the Wolves actually played one game there once.
Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe like the Nassau Coliseum had a lot of different teams.
Yeah, the Nets and Islanders, but
they had had soccer there. You remember the indoor soccer for a while? But that's, we're not talking about the big, you know, three big ones.
So. And I guess the cool part is it's within the same year, like the same season.
Yeah.
Like you will have had that happen. So.
My gosh, you're just throwing craziness out, but you're right. But now the rest of the day, I'm
going
to be stumped on this.
He's getting the game notes in his mind ready. Hey, let's look that up.
Yeah, and the Silverdome had two of them. You got us, buddy.
A lot of twos.
Struggling. Do we have three?
You know what? Wrigley Field had the Cubs, Bears, and the White Sox had to play a game there once.
The two baseball teams, definitely.
And Northwestern played there.
Northwestern, yeah. We can bore the listeners all day long with me rambling through. About this?
Yeah.
I bet the Astrodome's another one.
So not necessarily how you're going to do this, but how excited you are for the cool part of taking kind of the game ops of Bridgestone Arena, making it the, you know, that is what makes it the home barn and the fun things, and then transferring that here to make it unique to the game and it being a unique game, but also still feeling like a Predators game. How fun that's going to be.
It is going to be fun. What I'm more excited about that is kind of the underlying storyline there. You know, for, you know, too many years, you know, the Titans and the Predators both existed, and we liked each other and hoped each other did well, but we didn't do a whole lot together. And that changed, you know, probably 4 or 5 years ago, right around, you know, when Burke and I started working together a little differently. And we were really excited to participate in the draft, you know, and support it. They did the same thing with the All-Star game. And it's fun to work together with another sports team. And we're not even talking about SC, who has to, you know, be pretty aggressive with their own schedule to make sure they didn't have home games that week. So it's all three of us coming together to create this opportunity. But even better is how closely our staffs will work together for the months leading up to this. They'll pay some dividends far beyond the Stadium Series game, because the closer we are, the better we are. There's no doubt about that.
So I'm not asking the what's next question, because I know you...
Well, I was going to throw it to you guys, because every time I'd come on, I mean, the day we announced the All-Star game, you, on air, said, yeah, well, when are we going to get the...
What about
game first? Like, Eeyore here pops in.
Well, because I know we're getting that already, so what's next?
But I remember Gary was asked that question when it was announced we were doing the All-Star. He said, guys, can we at least take down the All-Star decorations before he asked me what next? And he said then, there is no doubt that Nashville is positioning itself to host every event that there could be. And, you know, now we're going to have to retread some of them.
Right. That's what I was getting at. Of now you've kind of gone through, and I mean, I guess a Winter Classic could be in the fold at some point in time. I know scheduling's.
Winter Classic to do in this stadium will be near impossible now that the stadium or the NFL has gone to 17 games.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does make that harder. We were working on that for a long time, but everything has to align in a certain manner, and then you have the bowl game as well. You know, but I like things right in Nashville. But when you start thinking about the Winter Classic, well, you know, maybe you start looking at the Super Speedway. Maybe you look at Neyland Stadium. Maybe you look, you know, bigger. I like that for the showcase. What I don't like about it is you lose the heartbeat of Smashville. But Smashville really is wherever this team is.
Do you have, like, a secret board in your office that has, like, all these events and, like, the wish lists and stuff? And can I see it one day?
Yes and no. No, I don't have a whole lot of secrets.
I would have predicted that answer.
Yeah, I mean, know.
Come in my office. You can find a file in my office. I'll give you $100 for everyone you find. I'm kind of known for not keeping any pieces of paper ever on my desk or anything worthwhile, because guys like you come snooping in.
Yeah. I would
and
never snoop.
Being environmentally conscious, right?
Environmentally conscious. Yeah. The only thing I have in my office that's somewhat interesting, besides pictures of my kids, I have a quote wall, which you write great quotes up on, from historic figures to people in the office. And someday you might make that wall, Chase.
I might.
I will let you know when you do.
And that'll be a good thing. I
will send you a picture of the wall in a little while. Well, that's an awkward silence for all of us, guys.
We're holding our breath on that one. I don't think that one's going to happen. But we'll see.
Ye of little faith.
Thanks for doing this. Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, thank you. This is something we could all talk about all day, right?
Yep.
One-on-one. It's a beautiful, beautiful day outside. I have no desire to go back inside. I'd like to sit out here all day. But thank you. You know, you guys have been with us since day one. You built your station around us. And you guys are really responsible for so much of the fun things that we're known for. And we celebrated last week. You know, we signed a new deal, which I don't even know why we signed it. But we basically signed a deal in perpetuity, which is maybe the greatest word you can forge when you have a real partner. And that's what you guys are. So thanks for being part of it.
Thank you, Sean. Well said. Sean Henry, president and CEO. As the commissioner said, he is definitely one of the top 32 in the league for sure. Now we'll just need to find out. We need to find Gary's list, right? Where does he really have everybody ranked?
Yeah.
Where's everybody ranked? All right, we'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase here at Nissan Stadium. Don't forget, speaking of Nissan Stadium, 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tonight. Yes.
Right here.
Boys will be on the pitch. Nashville SC taking on Columbus right here where we are at Nissan Stadium. Pre-game begins at 7:15. The match begins at 7:30.
Randall Leal was in the house last night watching the Predators against the Kings. He'll be on the pitch tonight, I presume.
Well, I would hope so.
Got to root him on.
Yeah, it was good to see him there last night. That was cool.
Love that.
615-737-1025 is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go there. Bicycle Boy, what's up?
Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, when David Poyle was asked about, you know, what improvements he wanted to make and what kind of players he was looking for. And he used the description sandpaper. I think Tanner Janot has definitely taken on the sandpaper role. So my question is, who else on the team do you think can step into that sandpaper, scrappy kind of guy role?
Okay, good question. Thanks for the phone call. I mean, I think not to the same level. First of all, nobody is going to be at the same level as Janot. I mean, Nick Cousins, that's kind of a role he plays, right? He's an agitator for sure.
I think Trennan is becoming very close to that
Trennan
category.
Trennan is closer to, if you're trying to find a Tanner Janot type, I guess sandpaper the word, Trennan is definitely in that category.
And the other guy is injured right now, but Matthew Olivier is a heavyweight. There's no question about it.
Well, Borowiecki, too.
And he's not as big. He's not as physically intimidating, but that's his game for sure.
Trennan and Janot are going to be, if you're talking about just size and brute strength, those two are going to stand alone. True? I mean, you're not going to have anybody else in that category, I don't think.
I think the herdsman, Olivier, Janot, Trennan.
Olivier, of course.
Yeah. Olivier, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when you have those guys, but what can they do? They're fast. They can play defense. They have a little bit of skill. Like Tanner Janot, that's not going to be the only goal. That's not going to be the only goal he scored.
He led the team in preseason in goals.
He
had three preseason goals.
I don't know how many he's going to score over 82 games, but he's going to score some. And so is Trennan.
Didn't him and Afanasyev have three goals each in preseason?
Yeah, but even last year, how many games did Janot play? 14 or 15? He had five or six goals, didn't he? I remember he had a lot. So I think to get the sandpaper effect, I remember Crispy. This is one of the great Crispyisms, and there's a whole file of them that we all have, right? head on a swivel and all these things.
Some we can repeat, some we can't.
Yes, but one of them is rat pack toughness.
Yep.
It can't just be, well, here's our tough guy. This is our tough guy. It's Tanner Janot, and then nobody else. Well, you know, when it comes to the tough stuff, we've got one guy that does this. It's really got to be a pack mentality. Of course, Crispy knows better than anybody because the teams that he won championships with as a coach and a player, they had that for sure. But you mentioned Cousins, Darren, and Borowiecki and guys like that. They get emboldened because you have the big guys that set the tone. I think it emboldens guys like Ryan Johansson. Ryan Johansson is a big guy, but now he's down on the spectrum, and now he's got a little more license to do things. It also makes – you think Drew Doughty's going to take a run at Janot again?
My guess is yes.
Not.
If he does, no.
He'd be making a
mistake. Actually, he won't. You're right.
Yeah.
His instincts would say – the instincts would be yes. But after what happened, no.
Well, because he's earned – I think Janot's earned that respect.
Well, he's earning. It's like – but they didn't play each other last year. So last night he learned. Now –
yeah.
Now Janot. Now Doughty knows.
Right, but there
knows about Janot.
And there's several ways to earn respect in this league, but Janot is doing it through his physical game. You have to respect the fact that, hey, you challenge that guy, he's going to hit you, and it's going to hurt. And you have to understand, you know, especially now that the game has kind of gotten away from the traditional enforcer like, you know, Stu was or something like that. You just have these I don't even know if it's still the same like a grinder. I mean, it's just these guys that have that edginess to their game while also adding some skill. Like
that's the key.
Janot has skill.
Like Janot that, and Trennan. Did you see the play that Trennan made last night? That long stretch pass where he reaches out and collects it cleanly, turns and stays ahead of the guy that's right on his hip and gets a breakaway. The guy kind of slashed him on the arm a little bit, or else he probably scores there. It actually was good. It was good, subtle defensive play. The guy reaches. It's a little desperation, but he just got him on the shaft of the stick. But that's a high skill play. That's a high skill play by Trennan. And that's not the only time he's ever done that.
Well, it's why you don't see those two on the fourth line right now.
That line is now the third line.
Yeah.
There's no hiding it anymore. There's no doubt about it. It'll be interesting when Olivier comes back what they do there. Because they, you know, they work Novak in, last night. I know one of the ongoing questions is how will they continue to develop and deploy Glass and Tomasino?
I think Janot could move up. I mean, I think there's a chance you could put Olivier.
I think Trennan could move up.
Yeah, either one. But you could almost put the original herd together and then have Janot play, you know, play on a different line.
Yes, I think that is an option for sure if you want to go with all those guys. I really don't know how long Olivier is going to be out, but I think based on how he played in the preseason, I think he is going to get a chance to get in there. And at the same time, I like Rocco Grimaldi. Is that change of pace on a team that's got a lot more size now? He goes out there and he's zipping around out there. I think he's playing a good straight line game right now. He's played two games. He hasn't jumped out and done anything spectacular. But again, the identity of the team is from the goal out. We're going to play the 200-foot game. Duchesne, Forsberg, Johansson, they haven't busted out and had any spectacular offensive games, but they're chipping in offensively. But I like, if you look at all three games, they played very sound defensively. They're not giving up a lot of chances. You haven't had those moments going, what are they doing? They're on the wrong side of the puck. They just gave away huge chances. That's going to be important as they go forward. They're really trying to pound into those guys. If you play the right way defensively, you'll still get the offensive chances that you're looking for.
I think Janot, if he keeps doing this, yeah, he's just going to keep sliding up. He's not, I mean, he's already gone from fourth line to third line, and I don't think that that's going to stop. Don't forget, there was a preseason game he played top line.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, there's a reason they did that. Like, in preseason, you're just experimenting. You're just, you know, you're just looking.
Yeah. Because during the course of the year,
what does this look like?
There's always going to be that time, sometimes out of necessity, sometimes you just want to shake it up, that, you know, you throw four different lines out there. These lines aren't going to be the lines the whole year, I don't think. But it is nice that you could go back. You can always go back to that herd line. And I think what you're hoping for is the more they play together, now you've got this thing where Duchesne and Johansson are sort of a hybrid center, depending on where the faceoff is. Johansson is the default center still. But if the faceoff is on a certain side of the ice, Duchesne becomes the center. And he likes that. You can tell. He was talking about that last night. He likes being able to have that. That's the chemistry that's building. You heard him say, I think there's another level to the three of us games. He wants to keep playing with these guys. But you have to, you know, John Hines, you got to take care of your own end to be able to stay together. If they take care of their own end, they'll stay together.
The question is, can Trennan be as productive as Janot offensively?
I think it'd be a great race.
Well, right now, Janot's ahead of him.
Oh, no question.
He just is.
Listen, Janot, when Janot started going off in Chicago last year with offense, people were telling me, and this is when the herd had started, right? The original herd of Trennan, Sissons, and Olivier, before Olivier got hurt. They were telling me, Janot is better. Watch Janot. He's got even more speed and skill than some of these guys. And I was like, what? Tanner Janot, the undrafted? It's like, I barely even know who this guy is. They're like, watch. They were trying to sell me on it. And I was like, I don't know. He played one game earlier. I didn't see anything of that. And then sure enough, they put him in that game.
That first game.
That game against Dallas. Well, the first game against Carolina, he took a penalty early.
It was terrible.
He was out of the mix.
Yeah.
He was just like, he's not ready. He comes back, and they put him in that game against Dallas. And he bowled over, just like he did last night. He bowled over Oleksiak. He trucked John Klingberg like he did Doughty last night. And you're like, wow, what have they got here? And then the next thing you know, he's going back in there and he's scoring goals. Olivier got hurt. That's what allowed him to sort of jump in on that line. And boom, you got something.
Well, don't forget, Olivier got hurt. And then who was it that got the two-game suspension?
Michael McCarron.
McCarron got this two-game suspension.
And that's when I was hearing it.
And then Janot never looked back.
Yep.
That's when he jumped in there and never looked back.
That was takeoff.
Yep.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I like the layout of this roster right now. I mean, I think there's some guys that, you know, once they get into more of a rhythm, like Cunning, Cousins, guys like that, you know, we saw them come on second half of last year. I think that it's going to be even better. But, you know, it's just it's a game by game. You got the first win under your belt. I heard Matt Duchene talking about that this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. And I think that the way the schedule lays out, especially to start, they should be able to notch a few more.
You got the Rangers coming in tomorrow. A lot of good young players. Mm-hmm. Remember they won the lottery a couple years ago when it had nothing to do, like,
wish I could have been in the lottery.
It was weird thing where they got to be in the playoffs and be in the lottery. Predators, same thing. They lost the qualifying round, so they got some ping pong balls in there. And the Rangers, sure enough, won it. They had the second pick in the draft the year before. So they got some weapons, for sure. They got Panarin, of course. So good challenge tomorrow night. It's going to be a fun game.
What's the number that changes you? What do you think? What is it? Like, you can win the lottery and win, you know, $100,000.
Oh,
what's the number? What's the number that kind of has you doing the Dave Chappelle skit? Who's going to be at Bridgestone soon? I would say
like the amount of money that, like, you can go crazy but not blow it, like
Sidney Crosby level winning the lottery.
I'm just talking about what's the number lottery that, you know, basically, yeah, you just like, I don't care anymore. My life just changed.
Like, I can already tell you, like, if I won, let's say it's $100 million. Like, if my take home is $100 million, mm-hmm. I am gonna walk into our lovely radio station and yell out, "See you guys!" And
come on,
leave.
You would not leave. you would not leave.
Yes, he would. I would. Like, everybody always says, "I love." I would. I love what I do. Yeah, well, that's fine.
I
but
do.
You would. You would not stay.
I think he would stay. He
I do love everybody.
No, he loves us too much.
But
I do.
He does. But that
he's not leaving.
I'd fly you guys. I'd come get you guys. You could come hang out on the yacht. We'd go to a baseball game.
You'd get bored. You want it. You want to be on this show. This is where it's at. Come on.
You know, I just Dave. I would be a I would make up a nickname and call in, like, I'd be Maccababe from the islands.
From the islands.
I don't think we would put you on the air, okay? Because we would probably get in a lot of trouble.
Oh, I've been drinking since 8. What's up, guys?
8 since 2 weeks ago. Since 8.
Yeah, you know.
See, I think after about,
like, what's your
eight
number?
To 10 months of a life of leisure, like,
it's
that,
probably $100 million.
You'd come back.
Because I think, like, if I won $5 million, like, that's comfortable. Like, you're comfortable,
yeah,
but you're not.
I mean, it's good. No, it changed, but it's
you're not,
not
stopping life. Like, you're still gonna have to work, and, you know, but maybe not.
Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
it gets easier.
Yeah,
but you still, like, you can run through $5 million.
Sure. Oh yeah.
Well, we saw Richard Pryor in Brewster's Millions. This was back in the 80s. He spent $30 million in 30 days. That's what he had to do to get the $300 million. He pulled it off. Well, spoiler alert.
I think enough time has lapsed.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. People that
at this
seen
point,
it.
If you haven't seen Brewster's Million, it's probably.
That's kind of on you.
Yeah. It's kind of a you thing.
John Candy's the catcher on the team. Richard Pryor's
like
the pitcher.
John Candy, I love. He's been gone for like 30 years.
Not that long.
Has it been that long?
He hasn't been gone for 30 years,
no,
has he?
20?
Yeah, that's a good question. When, yeah, okay. The years are, like you said, the years
you
are
say
running together.
It's been at least 2 decades.
It's been a while.
94.
Is when he
wow,
left us?
Yeah,
that
he
early?
Died 94.
Oh, how about that? Man, that's earlier than I thought.
Well, because he and Chris Farley weren't that far apart.
So almost 30 years. Almost.
Yeah, Farley died in 97, so, yeah.
Both like, you don't really believe that, right, Willie? Like you. I know we're having fun, but, like, you know, like, $100 million, like, you're like, peace out.
No.
Love. Yeah.
No.
Yes. It sounds good, but if it happened, you would not wake
bored.
Up.
I'd get really
no,
bored.
No, you wouldn't. You
yes,
would
I
play
would.
Pickleball every day. You'd have a, there'd be a Donick pickleball
bowl. Well, yeah,
bowl.
But I mean.
Be like the largest pickleball tournament in the country.
Yeah, and that's, you can do stuff like that. Like, for me, like, again, back to the $100 million, I would then start going to – I would just take baseball trips.
Well, I mean, and now that you'd be like Roger Clemens. Like, Mahoney's team would have, like, a travel bus. You know, they'd have TVs on the bus and the clubhouse. I mean, yep. You would just
– I get Cowboys season tickets and fly down to Arlington every week and go to the Cowboys game. And I would just do stuff like that. So – And then I'd probably get bored and figure something else out.
Come back. I'm telling you.
Go buy a race team. There you go. I'll go start a race team. Chase McKay Motorsports. Get Dale Jr. to come out of the booth.
Why does that scare me?
CMM.
I think it was the look on your face.
I got really excited there.
You got really excited.
I'd start in the truck series. Find me a good, young, up-and-coming driver in the truck series and just work our way up. We'll win championships.
Yeah.
Get Hendrick power. It'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
The new car makes it easy. Got this. I need to win the lottery now. I don't want to do this.
Yeah. You got your ticket today? Or
DDC Racing. We'll call it that. DDC Racing or DDC Motorsports.
And we can get Derek that jacket we owe him.
That's right. We did. That would be the first jacket. Thing we need to get.
Willie, why don't you tell everybody about QC Kinetics?
All right. Let me just do that with QC Kinetics.
We're going to go buy lottery tickets. You tell them about that.
Yeah,
we're
you guys,
buy
you guys go. In fact, I'm sure I saw the wheels turning with Chase. He absolutely wants to get one today. He's got his mind set on it. But QC Kinetics is a brand new sponsor on our station. And you're going to hear this. They're open now. They just came to Nashville. So if you're tired of living with chronic pain, like knee pain or joint pain or shoulder, I want you to listen carefully because now there's some new treatments that QC Kinetics offer. They're available now. We're not talking about a surgery, not talking about drugs and steroids. These are regenerative treatments from the medical professionals at QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is the leader in these exciting biologic therapies. They help restore and repair damaged tissue in your joints with lasting results. If you've got pain in your knees, shoulders, hip, or back, joint pain that just doesn't go away, it's been lingering for a while, check out these new treatments with great satisfaction reports from the patients. They can actually help your body restore and repair itself with no downtime, no drugs, and no surgery. Call now to schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. Don't wait. Call today. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024.
Back around Darren Donica Chase on this Wednesday. Let's head over to the Titans facility. We're here live at Nissan Stadium. Let's head over there and hear from head coach Mike Vrabel.
They can extend plays and their talent and how they play the game.
With Mahomes,
Maven right in considering his experience here?
I mean, I think that was probably some of it. You know, we'll see where Greg's at and how much he is where his recall is, and you know, as the game plan gets closer to Sunday.
When Mahomes gets on the move, do you see, like, do his receivers have rules, or are they improvising with him at that point?
I don't think there's rules. I think they kind of all just understand where he wants them and where they go, and he does a great job of finding them. I mean, I think there's probably rules, and then they kind of get, you know, broken. I think that they know that if they get open, that there's a good chance that they'll get the ball.
Can he frustrate a defense as much as anybody?
I mean, I think that that's something that's always a challenge when you play Patrick. And you know, we've played him a few times, and you know, whether he drifts away from pressure or he seems to know where it's coming from, his ability to put it in spaces out in front of guys in man coverage, his anticipation. You know, really, it played turned the game around last year. You know, there's a long scramble right there before half. So, you know, it'd be important that not only we try to defend him in when he throws it, is when he runs it as well.
Kevin, I know we talked at the end of last season just about him wanting to improve, and he's off to a good start this year. 3 picks, fumble recovered for a touchdown. Has he done anything different, or has he just kind of put himself in a good, better spot?
I mean, I think that sometimes those. You know, it's cyclical. You know, I mean, I don't think he's playing any different. I mean, obviously, he played well for us last year. We got a lot of, you know, faith and confidence in Kevin, and you know, his leadership and everything that he does for us. You know, so that, you know, I don't get caught up in the statistics of it. I try to get caught up in the execution, and so it's always great. I think that, you know, for players that they can contribute and have statistical success, and so. You know, I think he's playing fast, and you know, again, like the other day, that was a play that was attributed to Nico. You know, I mean, Kevin was on his guy, DeNico hit the quarterback, and so, you know, he understands that in man coverage, and when he's covering somebody, that job's not to let him catch the ball, and he does a good job in zone to defend in the deep part of the field for us.
What kind of challenges does that Chiefs offense present? Whereas, you know, got Tyreek Hill, he stretches the field. Kelsey is so good, work in the middle. How much stress does that put on the
field? Well, they're just a lot of athletic, a lot of speed. You know, they revolve around speed, and you know, there's a lot of precision to what they do. You know, there's a lot of plays that repeat. Something that Andy isn't afraid to do is to repeat plays. You know, and it's just that their efficiency with them is outstanding. The players know you know what to do, and they're executing. And so, you know, it may look different based on a coverage that they see, and if it's man, then you know he may want to go to Kelsey somewhere because of the matchup, or if it's zone, he knows that you know there's a receiver that's going to be throttling down differently in each zone. And so they create a lot of speed, and it's a vertical threat, you know, passing attack, and then there's some underneath elements with guys working underneath as well.
With the release of Townsend, the presumption is that Brett would be back. How good would it be to have him back? And are there things you can do with him as your regular guy, maybe in terms of directional punting that you wouldn't want to try to do with a replacement?
Yeah, I mean, I think Brett's feeling better, and hopefully we'll get him back, you know, towards the end of the week. You know, we'll see how he kicks when he gets back. But you know, I mean, he's our punter. You know, right now he still has to go through protocol, and you know, hopefully we can punt better and you know cover better.
Did you get a chance to see what Brady Breeze might be able to do on special teams, or you know, do you just like his kind of you know athleticism and potential in that regard?
I mean, we'll see where it is this week. He's I think we moved him to the active roster. You know, he was working his way back from the IR, and you know, again, we'll see you know where it goes as far as who we make active for the game.
Shane has found a good rhythm as a defensive play caller.
I mean, I think here's what I always say about you know calling plays: make sure that you get them in there in a timely fashion. Make sure that the players understand you know, what they're supposed to be doing. And I think that, you know, there's things that we've changed a little bit, and you know we were you know doing well on third down, didn't do so well the other night, but I you know I think that they're you know they're making changes. We try to make some changes and adjustments as the game goes on, and things that we like, and you know I think that the players ultimately are the ones that you know that execute, no different than the last play of the game. It was. Same thing we called earlier, you know, or called previously in the season. And the players went out and executed it and made a play.
What are some characteristics of Andy Reid coach teams that have kind of been constant over the years, and how do you like the way he's run his program?
Well, I mean, I would say that Andy's been a great mentor for me as a coach, you know, going back to when I was in Houston, just to be able to have conversations with him. You know, he's coached a lot of great players, coached a lot of great teams. You know, every meeting that I've ever been associated with, you know, Andy tries to give input with to coaches, younger coaches. So I'm thankful for that relationship. You know, they're always very explosive offensively. I think he's got a very creative offensive mind. Seems like the players enjoy playing for him, have a good time. They've been ultimately successful, you know, and I'm not saying like they have a good time because they win. You know what I mean? He's had a lot of success in this league and you know, very good offensively, and he's a championship coach and a championship person.
Mike, in that second half, maybe find some rhythm in the passing game that can build on, especially now, you know, AJ seems to be getting his conditioning back better each week.
You know, every week's different. We'll have to start the game better, Teresa. That's what we're focused on in Kansas City. You know, trying to just start faster and make sure that you know we have a good pocket for the quarterback. try to handle the front as good as they are with Jones and you know Clark. You know, and some of the guys that they'll rotate and play some guys inside. But that'll be a huge key for us to start there with protecting the quarterback, and then. trying to find some openings against, match coverage.
When your injury report and your IR list continues to grow, can it be difficult to stay level-headed and keep the next man up, or is there a point where you become concerned about having enough juice?
No, I think that's all part of this job, Luke, is just try to be, as focused and even keel, as you possibly can. I know that's probably not always the case, but you just have to try to get everybody to understand that when they come into work, that they could be active for the game. They could play a large role. I just looked at Nick Westbrook. He knows multiple positions. He's an impact player for us on special teams. Those are the types of players that you look for, that guys that can play more than one position and go out there and, whether it's to block on a touchdown run, to pick up a huge third down conversion, or cover a kickoff and make a tackle inside the 20. Let's try to find as many guys like that as we can. Keep your eyes open for me.
Mike, just to follow up on that, how helpful has it been? I mean, the rules last year on IR and being able to bring guys back were implemented for the pandemic. With that 17th game this year, how crucial is it, particularly for you all, to now you're starting to get some guys back to be able to use that to survive these injuries?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good tool, and it's something that we have, been forced to use just because the guys, been hurt and been hurt for, at least 3 weeks. So, with that becomes more decisions that you have to make when guys come back off of that list, so you can only have, 53 on the active. And then, so that's a fluid process of trying to decide what you want to do with the practice squad and what you want to do with the 53 man roster as guys start to come off of the IR.
Often that offensive scripting at the beginning of the game is some of the most favorable stuff you've seen during the week. You guys have scored, I think, 20 in the first quarter. Any thoughts on why that hasn't worked for you so far this year?
I think we continue to look at that, and that's something that we'll try to improve on. I think it's just maybe some of the looks that we've seen. We have to do a better job of anticipating some things that may have been different that we weren't, maybe expecting. Execution, is probably would always be a big reason. But, I agree with you. We do have to get off to better starts and, try to help ourselves early in the game.
And obviously the injury list is long, but you're going with the walkthrough today. How much does that change what you can do during the course of a typical preparation?
Just the ability to have a walkthrough?
Well, doing a walkthrough as opposed to a typical Wednesday practice.
I just felt like I'd try to do what's best for the football team, and there's going to be, we get a lot of reps done. We get they get to see a lot of plays. We have a group of show team on each side that helps us out. I mean, we'll get to see plenty of plays, and we won't be able to recreate the speed, obviously, that we're going to see. Even if we did practice at full speed, we're not going to recreate the speed that the Chiefs have. I just felt like it was an emotional, physical game. A lot of guys are banged up, and this was the decision that I felt like was best for the team. Bring them in there a little later, let them get some sleep, get some treatment at a little later time, and then get back to normal schedule tomorrow.
Roger was able to make it through the whole game the other night. How important was that, both in success in the run game and in pass protection?
Well, he's a premier run player, run blocker. I mean, he does a fantastic job of getting on those guys and covering up and finishing. Takes a lot of pride in it. We gain a lot of yards over there running behind him. And then helping us stay firm in the pocket. I've really enjoyed coaching Roger since he's been here, getting to know him personally. It was great to see, his mom and his sister out in Seattle. I enjoy coaching him and having him here. I'm glad that, he was able to make it through the entire game.
Did it bode well for him? You talked last week about maybe reassessing him.
It probably does, yeah. I think that as it stands now, I think that we're, I think he's feeling better, obviously, than he had a couple weeks ago.
With Josh Reynolds, obviously, he came here,
thinking that there was going to be opportunity. For one reason or another, it hasn't been. For you as a coach, you know, a guy who they refer to as a player's coach, how do you go about managing?
What does that mean, Teron? I don't know what that means.
Well, anytime I ask them, they say that
they don't. What do they say that means? I don't know.
They always say that you have their best interest. They say that, you know, you're invested in them emotionally. Those are the two things.
That's just being a coach. I mean, that's just being a human being, you know. No, I know. And again, I you know, Josh has, you know, had a good camp, then got injured, you know what I mean? And then so now he, you know, got an opportunity. Guys came back, and there's a million reasons. And so hopefully, you know, he keeps, you know, being ready to go. Explain to those guys this morning, like, there's going to be a lot of moving parts. Use Nick as an example. You know as many positions as you possibly can. Help on special teams. And that's a great recipe to be able to be active on Sunday. So I'm confident that Josh, you know, is going to continue to do that.
Does Josh know all the positions?
I mean, Josh knows more than one position. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. We'll come back, start the third hour, discuss some things we heard. We'll do that on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.